Chapter 12. He took comfort in his God. Paragraphs 1 and 2 question: What happened on the most eventful day of Elijah's life? Elijah ran through the rain as the darkness deepened. He had a long way to go before he would reach Jezreel, and he was no young man. Yet he ran on tirelessly, for the very hand of Jehovah was upon him. The energy coursing through his body was surely unlike any he had ever known. Why, he had just outpaced the team of horses that was pulling King Ahab in his royal chariot.
1 Kings 18:46 reads, "And the very hand of Jehovah proved to be upon Elijah, so that he girded up his hips and went running ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel."
Now the open road lay before him. Imagine Elijah blinking the raindrops from his eyes as he ran, thinking back over the most eventful day of his life. Without question, it was a glorious victory for Elijah's God Jehovah and for true worship. Far behind him, lost in the gloom of the storm, lay the windswept heights of Mount Carmel, where Jehovah had used Elijah to strike a mighty and miraculous blow against Baal worship. Hundreds of Baal prophets were exposed as wicked frauds and justly executed. Then Elijah prayed to Jehovah for an end to the drought that had afflicted the land for 3.5 years. The rains fell. Paragraphs 3 and 4 question A. Why might Elijah's hopes have been high as he made his way to Jezreel? Question B. What questions will we consider? As Elijah splashed along those 19 miles to Jezreel, his hopes might have been high. It may have seemed to him that a real turning point had come at last. Ahab would have to change. After what he had witnessed, surely he had no choice but to abandon Baal worship, to restrain his queen Jezebel, and to stop the persecution of Jehovah's servants. When things seem to be going our way, it is only natural that our hopes rise. We may imagine that our lot in life will continue to improve, perhaps even thinking that our worst problems are finally behind us. If Elijah thought that way, no wonder, for he was a man with feelings like ours. James 5:17. Actually, though, Elijah's problems were far from over. In fact, within hours, Elijah would be so fearful, so low in spirits, that he would wish to die. What happened, and how did Jehovah help his prophet to renew his faith and his courage? Let us see. An unexpected turn of events. Paragraph 5 question. After the events on Mount Carmel, had Ahab learned to respect Jehovah more, and how do we know? When Ahab reached his palace in Jezreel, did he give any evidence of being a changed man? We read, "Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and all about how he had killed all the prophets with the sword." 1 Kings 19:1. Notice that Ahab's account of the day's events left out Elijah's God Jehovah. A fleshly man, Ahab saw the day's miraculous events in strictly human terms, what Elijah had done. Clearly, he had not learned to respect Jehovah God. And how did his vengeful wife react? Paragraph 6 question. What message did Jezebel send to Elijah, and what did it mean? Jezebel was furious. Livid with rage, she sent this message to Elijah. "So may the gods do, and so may they add to it, if at this time tomorrow I shall not make your soul like the soul of each one of them." 1 Kings 19:2. This was a death threat of the worst kind. In effect, Jezebel was vowing that she herself should die if she could not have Elijah killed within the day to avenge her Baal prophets. Imagine Elijah being awakened from sleep in some humble lodging in Jezreel on that stormy night, only to hear the queen's messenger deliver those awful words. How was he affected? overcome by discouragement and fear. Paragraph 7 question, what effect did Jezebel's threat have on Elijah, and what did he do? If Elijah cherished any notions that the war against Baal worship was all but over, his hopes came crashing down at that moment. Jezebel was undeterred. A great many of Elijah's faithful colleagues had already been executed on her orders, and now, it seemed, he was to be next. What effect did Jezebel's threat have on Elijah? The Bible tells us he became afraid. Did Elijah picture in his mind's eye the terrible death that Jezebel had in store for him? If he dwelled on such thoughts, it is no wonder that his courage failed him. At any rate, Elijah began to go for his soul. He ran for his life. 1 Kings 19:3. Paragraph 8, question A. How was Peter's problem similar to that of Elijah? Question B. What lesson can we learn from Elijah and Peter? Elijah was not the only man of faith ever to be overcome by fear. Much later, the Apostle Peter had a similar problem. For instance, when Jesus enabled Peter to join him in walking on water, the apostle began looking at the windstorm. He then lost his courage and started to sink.
Matthew 14:30 reads, "But looking at the windstorm, he got afraid, and after starting to sink, he cried out, 'Lord, save me!'"
The examples of Elijah and Peter thus teach us a valuable lesson. If we want to maintain our courage, we must not let our mind dwell on the dangers that frighten us. We need to keep our focus on the source of our hope and strength. It is enough. Paragraph 9. Describe Elijah's journey and his state of mind as he fled. Driven by fear, Elijah fled southwestward, some 95 miles to Beersheba, a town near the southern border of Judah. There he left his attendant behind and struck out into the wilderness alone. The record says that he went a day's journey, so we may picture him starting off at sunrise, evidently carrying no provisions with him. 1 Kings 19:4. Depressed, spurred ever onward by fear, he struggled over the rough and wild terrain under the blazing sun. As that glaring disk gradually reddened and sank to the horizon, Elijah's strength gave out. Exhausted, he sat down under a broom tree, the closest thing to shelter in that barren landscape. Paragraphs 10 and 11, question A. What was the meaning of Elijah's prayer to Jehovah? Part B. Using the cited scriptures, describe the feelings of other godly individuals who became low in spirits. Elijah prayed in utter desperation. He asked to die. He said, "I am no better than my forefathers." He knew that his forefathers were then mere dust and bones in the grave, unable to do any good for anybody. Elijah felt just as worthless. No wonder he cried out, "It is enough! Why go on living?" Should it be shocking to learn that a man of God could become so low in spirits? Not necessarily. A number of faithful men and women in the Bible record are described as feeling so sad that they wished for death. Among them, Rebekah, Jacob, Moses, and Job. Paragraph 12 question, if you ever find yourself feeling very low, in what respect should you follow Elijah's example? Today we live in critical times, hard to deal with, so it is not surprising that many people, even faithful servants of God, find themselves feeling low at times. 2 Timothy 3:1. If you ever find yourself in such a dire situation, follow Elijah's example in this respect. Pour out your feelings to God. After all, Jehovah is the God of all comfort.
2 Corinthians 1:3 and 4 reads, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of tender mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those in any sort of tribulation through the comfort with which we ourselves are being comforted by God.
Did he comfort Elijah? Jehovah sustained his prophet. Paragraphs 13 and 14, question A. How did Jehovah, by means of an angel, show loving concern for his troubled prophet? Question B. Why is it comforting that Jehovah knows all about each one of us, including our limitations? How do you think Jehovah felt as he looked down from heaven and saw his beloved prophet lying under that tree in the wilderness and begging for death to take him? We do not have to guess. After Elijah sank into sleep, Jehovah sent an angel to him. The angel gently woke Elijah with a touch and said, "Rise up, eat." Elijah did so, for the angel had kindly set out a simple meal for him, fresh, warm bread along with water. Did he even thank the angel? The record says only that the prophet ate and drank and went back to sleep. Was he too despondent to speak? At any rate, the angel woke him a second time, perhaps at dawn. Once more he urged Elijah, "Rise up, eat." And he added these remarkable words, "For the journey is too much for you." 1 Kings 19:5-7. Thanks to God-given insight, the angel knew where Elijah was headed. He also knew that the journey would be too much for Elijah to carry out in his own strength. What a comfort to serve a God who knows our goals and our limitations better than we do.
Psalm 103:13-14 reads, "As a father shows mercy to his sons, Jehovah has shown mercy to those fearing him. For he himself well knows the formation of us, remembering that we are dust."
How did Elijah benefit from that meal? Paragraphs 15 and 16, question A. What did nourishment from Jehovah enable Elijah to do? Question B. Why should we appreciate the way that Jehovah sustains his servants today? We read, "He rose up and ate and drank, and he kept going in the power of that nourishment for 40 days and 40 nights, as far as the mountain of the true God Horeb." 1 Kings 19:8. Like Moses some 6 centuries before him, and Jesus nearly 10 centuries after him, Elijah fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. That one meal did not make all his problems go away, but it sustained him miraculously. Imagine that older man trudging through the trackless wilderness day after day, week after week, for nearly a month and a half. Jehovah sustains his servants today as well, not with miraculous physical meals, but in a far more vital way. He provides for his servants spiritually. Learning about God from his word and from publications that are carefully based on the Bible sustains us spiritually. Taking in such spiritual nourishment may not make all our problems go away, but it can help us endure what might otherwise be unendurable. It also leads to everlasting life. Paragraph 17, question, where did Elijah go, and why was that place significant? Elijah walked nearly 200 miles until he finally reached Mount Horeb. It was a place of great significance, for there Jehovah God, through an angel, had long before appeared to Moses in the burning thorn bush, and there Jehovah had later made the law covenant with Israel. Elijah found shelter in a cave. How Jehovah comforted and strengthened his prophet. Paragraphs 18 and 19, question A. Jehovah's spirit messenger posed what question, and how did Elijah respond? Question B. Elijah revealed what 3 reasons for his low spirits. At Horeb, Jehovah's word, evidently delivered by a spirit messenger, posed this simple question, "What is your business here, Elijah?" The question was likely spoken in a gentle way, for Elijah took it as an invitation to pour out his feelings. And pour them out he did. He said, "I have been absolutely jealous for Jehovah, the God of armies. For the sons of Israel have left your covenant, your altars they have torn down, and your prophets they have killed with the sword, so that I only am left. And they begin looking for my soul to take it away." 1 Kings 19:9-10. Elijah's words reveal at least three reasons for his low spirits. First, Elijah felt that his work had been in vain. Despite years of being absolutely jealous in serving Jehovah, putting God's sacred name and worship above all else, Elijah saw that conditions seemed only to have grown worse. The people were still faithless and rebellious, while false worship was running rampant. Second, Elijah felt alone. "I only am left," he said, as if in that nation he were the last man who still served Jehovah. Third, Elijah was scared. Many of his fellow prophets had already been killed, and he was convinced that he was next. It may not have been easy for Elijah to admit to those feelings, but he did not let pride or embarrassment hold him back. By opening his heart to his God in prayer, he set a good example for all faithful people. Paragraphs 20 and 21, Part A. Describe what Elijah witnessed from the mouth of the cave on Mount Horeb. Question B. What did Jehovah's displays of power teach Elijah? How did Jehovah address Elijah's fears and concerns? The angel told Elijah to stand at the mouth of the cave. He obeyed, not knowing what was in store. A mighty wind sprang up. It must have emitted a deafening roar, for it was so powerful that it tore mountains and crags apart. Picture Elijah trying to shield his eyes while clinging to his heavy, rustic garment of hair as the gusts whipped it about him. Then he had to struggle to keep his footing, for the very earth began to heave and toss. An earthquake shook the region. He had barely recovered when a great fire swept through, forcing him back into the cave to shield himself from the searing heat. In each case, the account reminds us that Jehovah was not to be found within these spectacular displays of nature's power. Elijah knew that Jehovah was not some mythical nature god such as Baal, who was hailed by his deluded worshippers as the rider of the clouds or bringer of rains. Jehovah is the real source of all the awesome power found in nature. But he is also vastly greater than anything he has made. Even the physical heavens cannot contain him. How did all of this help Elijah? Remember his fear. With a God like Jehovah on his side, a God who had all that overwhelming power at his disposal, Elijah had nothing to fear from Ahab and Jezebel.
Psalm 118:6 reads, "Jehovah is on my side. I shall not fear. What can earthling man do to me?"
Paragraph 22, Question A. How did the calm, low voice reassure Elijah that he was far from worthless? Question B. Who might have been the source of the calm, low voice? After the fire was gone, a hush fell, and Elijah heard a calm, low voice. It invited Elijah to express himself again, and he did so, pouring out his concerns a second time. The footnote reads, "The source of this calm, low voice may have been the same spirit who was used to deliver Jehovah's word mentioned at 1 Kings 19:9. In verse 15, this spirit is referred to simply as Jehovah. We might be reminded of the spirit emissary whom Jehovah used to guide Israel in the wilderness, and of whom God said, "My name is within him." Exodus 23:21. We cannot be dogmatic on this point, of course, but it is worth noting that in his pre-human existence, Jesus served as the Word, the special spokesman to Jehovah's servants. End of footnote. Perhaps that brought him further relief. Undoubtedly, though, Elijah found even more comfort in what the calm, low voice told him next. Jehovah reassured Elijah that he was far from worthless. How so? God revealed much of his long-range purpose regarding the war against Baal worship in Israel. Clearly, Elijah's work had not been in vain, for God's purpose was moving inexorably forward. Furthermore, Elijah still figured in that purpose, for Jehovah sent him back to work with some specific instructions. Paragraph 23 question. In what two ways did Jehovah address Elijah's feelings of loneliness? What about Elijah's feelings of loneliness? Jehovah did two things about that. First, he told Elijah to anoint Elisha as the prophet who would eventually succeed him. This younger man would become Elijah's companion and helper for a number of years. How practical that comfort was! Second, Jehovah revealed this thrilling news. I have let 7,000 remain in Israel, all the knees that have not bent down to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. 1 Kings 19:18. Elijah was far from alone. It must have warmed his heart to hear of those thousands of faithful people who refused to worship Baal. They needed Elijah to keep up his faithful service, to set an example of unshakable loyalty to Jehovah in those dark times. Elijah must have been deeply touched to hear those words through Jehovah's messenger, the calm, low voice of his God. Paragraphs 24 and 25, question A. In what sense can we listen to Jehovah's calm, low voice today? Question B. Why can we be sure that Elijah accepted the comfort Jehovah gave him? Like Elijah, we may be awestruck by the immense natural forces evident in creation, and rightly so. Creation vividly reflects the power of the Creator. Jehovah still loves to use his limitless might to help his faithful servants. However, God speaks most fully to us through the pages of his word, the Bible.
Isaiah 30:21 reads, "And your own ears will hear a word behind you, saying, 'This is the way. Walk in it, you people,' in case you people should go to the right or in case you should go to the left."
In a sense, the Bible can be like that calm, low voice if we let it guide us today. In its precious pages, Jehovah corrects us, encourages us, and reassures us of his love. Did Elijah accept the comfort Jehovah gave him on Mount Horeb? Without a doubt. Soon he was back in action, once more the bold, faithful prophet who stood up against the wickedness of false worship. If we likewise take to heart the inspired words of God, the comfort from the Scriptures, we will be able to imitate the faith of Elijah. Romans 15:4. Questions to think about. What events led Elijah to become very low in spirits? What feelings contributed to Elijah's discouragement? In what ways did Jehovah comfort Elijah? How will you imitate Elijah if you ever become discouraged?